In the book of, we are in Proverbs chapter 3 today. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 35. I read to you Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 35. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart and write them on the tablet of your heart and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I'll give it when you have it with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, once again we bow before your throne by the blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. Thank you for boldness, for confidence, for access to call you Abba, Father. The joy of being able to know you as our loving Heavenly Father, all because of the finished work that was done for us on the cross through your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, blessed Lord, for leaving glory, for coming into this world. We thank you for shedding your blood on the cross. We thank you for giving us new life and abundant life. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you and we seek your face, Lord, this evening hour as we look into the pages of your word. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for your spirit who leads us into all truth. Lord, we desire to hear your voice, not the voice of man. So speak to our hearts. By your Spirit, through your word, minister to us, Lord. Speak, Lord, for we desire to listen. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Now, we said last time that the emphasis in chapter 2, 3, and 4 in the book of Proverbs is on the blessings that God's people enjoy when God's people walk in the path of wisdom. Now, the path of wisdom leads to life, but the way of folly leads to death. So when you walk on the path of wisdom, you enjoy three wonderful assurances. Number one, wisdom protects your path. Proverbs chapter 2. Number two, wisdom directs your path. Proverbs chapter 3. Wisdom perfects your path. Proverbs chapter 4. So today we will look into the second assurance. Wisdom directs your path. Now the key verse in chapter 3 is verses 5 and 6. These are the key verses. And this is a promise. Verses 5 and 6 in chapter 3 is a promise that God's people have often claimed. As they seek the Lord's direction for their lives, they claim this promise. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So this is God's promise. Now, this promise has never failed those who have taken it to heart and those who obeyed the conditions that God has laid down. The conditions that God has laid down is found in verses 1 to 12 of Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 12 gives the conditions for the promise. So the promise never fails. Those who take to heart the conditions, obey the conditions that God has laid down in verses 1 to 12. Now God keeps his promises when we obey his instructions. God will keep his promises when you obey his instructions, because our obedience prepares us to receive and to enjoy what God has planned for us and what he wants to bless us with. Now let's look at the conditions. Conditions to meet to receive God's guidance. It's found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. The first condition for receiving God's guidance is that we learn God's truth. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Learn God's truth. My son, do not forget my law. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now the will of God is revealed in the word of God. The will of God is revealed in the word of God. The Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 10, For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. That's the prayer. That's the prayer of Paul for these Colossian believers. That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So the only way to know God's will is to study God's word. And not just study God's word, but obey God's word. By receiving the word within our hearts, by allowing the word to become flesh in us, what happens? We experience growth in godly character. And then mercy and truth. The NIV says love and faithfulness. Mercy and truth, or love and faithfulness, become beautiful ornaments in our lives. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 9. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. So it is not enough for believers to just carry the Bible in their hands. They must let the Holy Spirit write God's word in their minds and their hearts. Then the believer will learn to listen to God's voice. And that's how you learn to listen to the voice of God directing you by His Spirit through His Word. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 3. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. The Apostle Paul tells the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 to 3. You are our epistle written in our hearts. In other words, you are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, what letter is this? Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ. You are a letter of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart. So our lives become godly in character as we meditate on the Word of God, obey the Word of God, and let the Word of God become flesh in us. Christ-like character is seen in us. We become epistles of Christ. Obedience to the Word. Obedience to the Word can also add years to your life. And life to your years. Not only years to your life, but life to your years. Now, the second condition that we must meet to receive God's guidance is we must obey God's will. Obey God's will. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. He shall direct your paths. That's what it says in verse 6. That is the promise. But the fulfillment of that promise is based on our obedience to the Lord. We must trust Him with all our heart, obey Him in all our ways. That means total commitment to Him. That's what God requires. Total commitment to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. You see, that's total commitment. The kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. That is real worship. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. See that? Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So when your mind is renewed with the Word of God day by day, you will think God's thoughts, you will feel after God's heart, and God's Word will become flesh in you, and you will become Christ-like in character. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Now that word translated trust in verse 5, it means to lie helpless, face down. That's worship. It pictures a servant waiting for the master's orders in readiness to obey. Or a defeated soldier yielding himself to the conquering general. Helpless, face down. The danger, of course, is that we lean on our own understanding. And then what happens? We miss out on God's will. Lean not on your own understanding. Now, this warning doesn't suggest that God's children turn off their brains and ignore their intelligence and common sense. No, it simply cautions us not to depend on our own wisdom, not to depend on our own experience, not to depend on the wisdom and experience of others, but to depend totally, entirely, abandoning yourself unto the Lord, seeking Him. Now, this is what Abraham did. He made the mistake. He was leaning on his own understanding, and he went down to Egypt. We read that in Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 to 20. If God had not intervened, he would have lost his wife, Sarah, and lost his testimony also. Joshua made the same mistake. He attacked. They won the battle of Jericho. And then He attacked the little town of Ai in his own wisdom. Joshua chapter 7. So when we become wise in our own eyes, Proverbs chapter 3 verse 7, then we are heading for trouble. The third condition that we need to meet to receive God's guidance is share God's blessings. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So this is the third condition we must meet if we want God to direct our paths. And this is the third condition. What is the condition? Share God's blessings. There's no such thing as spiritual and material. In the Christian life, there is no demarcation. There is no line between spiritual and material. Because everything we have comes from God. It belongs to God. Therefore, we must use whatever God has given for the glory of his name. The Old Testament Jews, they brought the Lord the firstlings of their flocks. Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Then the Lord said to Moses, dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites, the first offspring to be born of both humans and animals belongs to me. Then they brought their first fruits, the first fruits of their fields they brought to the Lord. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 9 to 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you enter the land I am giving you and you harvest its first crops, bring the priest a bundle of grain from the first cutting of your grain harvest. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest will lift it up before the Lord, so it may be accepted on your behalf. On that same day, you must sacrifice a one-year-old male lamb with no defects as a burnt offering to the Lord. With it, you must present a grain offering consisting of 4 quarts of choice flour moistened with olive oil. It will be a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. You must also offer 1 quart of wine as a liquid offering. Do not eat any bread or roasted grain or fresh kernels on that day until you bring this offering to your God. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed from generation to generation, wherever you live. So in this way, the people of Israel, they acknowledge God's goodness and God's sovereignty in their lives. And that is what we must do. We must always acknowledge God's goodness, God's sovereignty in our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. That's the New Testament parallel. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, if you don't faithfully give to the Lord, we don't really trust the Lord. Of course, our tithes and offerings are not payment for God's blessings. Rather, they are evidence of our faith and our obedience to God. Now, the Christian industrialist, R.G. Letourneau, he said this, if you give because it pays, it won't pay. If you give because it pays, it won't pay. Giving is heart preparation for what God wants to say to us and do for us. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Our fourth responsibility and condition to receive God's guidance is to submit to God's chastening. Submit to God's chastening. Now, this is very, very important. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. Submit to God's chastening. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Now, chastening is a part of God's plan. Why? To help his sons and daughters mature in godly character. If you really love your children, you will discipline them. You will chasten them. Now, we see this truth about chastening in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. And I would suggest that you read that passage. In fact, study that passage. God chastens us, not as a judge punishes a criminal, no. But as a parent disciplines a child, God chastens us. He acts in love. And his purpose is that we might become partakers of his holiness. If we don't experience God's chastening, in our lives. And if we don't submit ourselves to God's chastening, let me tell you this, we will become very unholy people. The means by which we actually become holy is through the chastening of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. For example, if a father doesn't chasten the child, if a father doesn't chasten the son or daughter is bound to live the way he pleases. And sooner or later, it'll be an unholy life. So chastening, God's disciplining, is so that we become partakers of his holiness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to us, as seemed best to them. That's speaking about earthly fathers. But he, that is God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Sometimes he chastens us because we have rebelled and we need to repent. Other times he chastens us to keep us from sinning and to prepare us for his special blessing. Now, no matter how much the experience hurts us, sometimes chastening is hurting. It hurts. But it'll never harm us because God always chastens us in love. God always chastens us in love. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 to 5. One of my favorite verses. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 to 5. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. For what? To humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Listen, a faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. All right, verse 3, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. So he, that is God, humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he, God, might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear you out. Sorry, your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart, as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. So when we meet the conditions of obedience, then God promises us. He promises to direct our lives. And God keeps his promises. When we obey his precepts, he keeps his promises. Because our obedience prepares us to receive and enjoy what he has planned for us. And what is it that he has planned? He has planned blessings for us to enjoy. And we read of those blessings in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 35. The rest of the passage in Proverbs chapter 3. Blessings to enjoy. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 35. Now, if we trust and obey, our Father in heaven will direct our path into these blessings that he has planned for us. The first of these blessings is true wealth that comes from wisdom. True wealth that comes from wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For our proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and again than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of blessedness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Now, some people know the price of everything, but they don't know the value of anything. They know the price of everything. They don't know the value of anything. Consequently, what happens? They make unwise choices. They make wrong decisions. And they end up with inferior products, sloppy goods. You see, you take what you want from life and you pay for it. You know, when you go to a shop and you see offer, 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 you buy because it's offer. What happens? You take what you want. You pay for it. It is good to have the things money can buy, provided you don't lose the things money can't buy. What good is an expensive house if there's no happiness in the home? If there's no happiness inside that house, what's the point of having such a huge mansion? Happiness, blessedness, peace. These are not guaranteed by products of financial success. No. Happiness, pleasantness, peace. They are not byproducts of money. They are guaranteed to the person who lives by God's wisdom. Happiness, pleasantness, shalom. Guaranteed to the person who lives, how? By God's wisdom. And wisdom becomes a tree of life. To the believer, wisdom becomes a tree of life. It takes hold of her. And this is a foretaste of heaven. Let me tell you, Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the middle of its street. And on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So wisdom becomes a tree of life. Another blessing is harmony with God's creation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 to 20. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. Proverbs 3, 19 to 20. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. The person who walks according to God's wisdom, you know, that person can sing that beautiful hymn. This is my Father's world. What a beautiful hymn that is. This is my Father's world. That person really means that hymn when he sings it. The wisdom of God brought everything into being, including what science calls the laws of nature. Yes, the wisdom of God brought it about. Wisdom speaks. In Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 to 31, we read, the Lord formed me from the beginning. This is wisdom speaking. Wisdom personified. The Lord formed me from the beginning, before he created anything else. I was appointed in ages past, at the very first before the earth began. I was born before the oceans were created, before the springs bubbled forth their waters. Before the mountains were formed, before the hills I was born, before he had made the earth and fields and the first handfuls of soil, I was there when he established the heavens, when he drew the horizon on the oceans. I was there when he set the clouds above, when he established springs deep in the earth. I was there when he set the limits of the seas so they would not spread beyond their boundaries, and when he marked off the earth's foundation. I was the architect at his side. I was his constant delight, rejoicing always in his presence. And how happy I was with the world he created. How I rejoiced with the human family. Praise the Lord. When you obey the laws of nature, creation will work for you. If you disobey them, creation will work against you. People in the so-called New Age movement, they try to be at one with the creation. But they're doomed to fail because they reject the wisdom of God. Christians who live by God's wisdom, we will be good stewards of God's creation, and we will use God's gifts for his glory. Now, a third blessing is the Father's providential care over our lives. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 21 to 26. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your ways, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Now, because God directs our path as we walk in his ways, he is able to protect our path. Because God directs our path, he is able to protect our path. The Lord is not obligated to protect his children when they willfully go their own way. God is not obligated to protect us when we go our own way. They're only tempting him. And that's a dangerous thing to do when you go your own way. Sometimes I hear the question, why doesn't God stop these terrible wars? God doesn't stop it because he didn't start it. It was started by people who rejected God's wisdom and pursued their own selfish plans. When you surrender yourself to God, every part of your body belongs to him, and you will be protected by him. He will help you. He will help you keep your eyes from wandering. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. He will keep your neck from turning your face away from God's path. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 22. So there will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. He will keep your feet walking on the right path. Proverbs 3, verse 23. Then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. Proverbs 3, 26. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. He will keep even your backbone safe while you're sleeping. Proverbs 3, verse 24. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Now, if something frightening suddenly happens, you won't be afraid. Proverbs 3, verse 25. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. Psalm 112, verse 7. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Psalm 121, verses 3 to 6. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, all this you realize because the Lord is protecting you. You realize all of this because the Lord is protecting you. How we sleep is sometimes evidence of how much we trust the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 8. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Psalm 5, verse 3. My voice you shall hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. Then, the fourth blessing. A positive relationship with others. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 to 35. That's a fourth blessing that the believer enjoys when he or she walks in the wisdom of God. Wise Christians will be generous to their neighbors and they will live peaceably with their neighbors. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 to 30. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I'll give it when you have it with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. Wise Christians will be generous to their neighbors and live peaceably with their neighbors, doing their best to avoid unnecessary disagreements. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. After all, if we truly love God, we will love our neighbor. We will love our neighbor as we would want him to love us. But what if our neighbor is a perverse person? What if our neighbor scoffs at us? He scoffs at our faith and he's perverse in his thinking and in his ways. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 31 to 35. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy. If you have a neighbor who is a perverse person who scoffs at your faith, the Lord will guide you in letting your light shine and his love show through you so that you will influence your neighbor and he won't lead you astray. Sometimes it takes a great deal of patience. It takes a great deal of patience. It takes a great deal of prayer and wisdom to rightly relate to people. People who don't want Christians in their neighborhood. Maybe that's why God put you there. It's possible to have a godly home in the midst of an ungodly neighborhood. For God, He blesses the home of the righteous. That's what He says. Proverbs 3, verse 33. He blesses the home of the righteous. So we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And one dedicated Christian in a neighborhood can make a great deal of difference and be a powerful witness for the Lord. All right. These are the blessings when we walk in the wisdom that God gives us. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer?